You heard the Christmas story, the true Christmas story. And I've been reading it in Luke and pondering what's been going on in the story. And there's something that struck me kind of, I don't know, funny, just different. There were some details in that story that I found not to be relevant, really. First of all, who cares about a census? Why would God have written by Luke a story that includes there's going to be a census and everybody's got to go home? What difference does it make? In the grand scheme of the Bible, what difference does it make that there's a census going on in Bethlehem or Judea or wherever it's going to be? All you got to do is say people went to the town of Bethlehem. And the other thing that was curious to me was, Luke tells us that Jesus was born in a manger. Well, what difference does that make? We're here celebrating the birth of Jesus. Does it make any difference if he was born in a manger or in the town inn or out in a valley somewhere or behind a rock? Does it really make any difference? So I pondered these questions, and I thought, you know what? There's something to those details. God wants us to know that the town of Bethlehem, at least, was filled with people. And there was no room at the inn. There was no room anywhere. And rather than have the baby Jesus born amidst all of that clamor and all of the people and all of the drinking and everything else that was probably going on, he moved him outside to a manger. Why? So that if you wanted to find out what was going on, you could go see Jesus. You could seek him out. He had come to us. This is God coming down to us. The vertical portion of the cross, by the way, that's what the cross symbolizes. But he wanted Jesus to show. He wanted Jesus to be visible, not caught up in everyday things, not caught up behind people or lost in the crowd. So I have a story to tell you. There was an Episcopal church somewhere, and we won't hold it against them that they were Episcopal. But they were having a Christmas Eve service, much like we are. And much like we do, they wanted to have a nativity scene. So as much as they could, they had live folks. They had a real Mary dressed with the blue veil or shawl, whatever they call it. They had a guy dressed up as Joseph, and he had on a big old cotton beard. And they had cardboard cutouts of camels and donkeys and sheep. And they had a guy dressed up as a shepherd. And in the crowd were the heavenly hosts. And they were little angels. All of the kids were dressed in white as angels. And so they're reading the Christmas story, and they're singing hymns, and they get to the part where the angels are supposed to cry out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill among men." And they were going to come to the front to see Jesus. And everything went perfect, except there was one little angel. She was about 9 years old, smaller than most, and she was late getting up to the front. And try as she might, on her tiptoes, looking around, straining her neck, she couldn't see Jesus because of all the other angels that had crowded around the front. And if the congregation would admit to it, they couldn't see Jesus either. And so in frustration and with a little bit of bitterness and being upset, she cries out to the entire congregation, "Let Jesus show. Let Jesus show." Well, the pastor of the church, being the wise man that he was, knowing that there was much more to come in the service, decided to end it there. So he pronounced the benediction and he dismissed the congregation with the words, "Let Jesus show," ringing in their head. Now, I'm probably not as smart as he was, because otherwise you all be leaving right now. But I think he missed the point. He missed an opportunity to tell his congregation how to let Jesus show. He missed an opportunity for the story, for the "Let Jesus Show" to become the everyday within the congregation. It's fine that the congregation heard "Let Jesus Show," but how does one do that? Champion tennis player Arthur Ashe once said, "Start where you are, use what you have, do what you can." So I recommend that you do just that, using what I call the 30-second rule. 30 seconds rule. It's simply this: do what you can, which is stop. Take your foot off the emotional gas pedal of your day and slow down enough to hear the Holy Spirit and be sensitive to what your heart is telling you is going on around you. Pause at specific times in the flow of the day. When you're out in the church parking lot, when you're on your way to work, when you arrive at work, when you enter your office, when you're at the mall, when you sit down to take a rest from mall shopping, when you drive in your driveway to get home, when you fought through the crowds at Myers or Kroger or wherever you were. Take 30 seconds out of your life and ask three questions. Ask yourself three questions. The first question is, what would the Spirit of God prompt me to pray as I walk into this portion of my day? How would I be prompted by the Holy Spirit to pray something, anything, as I'm walking into this meeting? As I'm getting into my car to drive home? As I'm stuck in traffic? What would the Holy Spirit prompt me to pray? Question number two, who or what does God want me to notice right here and right now? What does the Holy Spirit want me to pray about? Who or what does God want me to notice in the situation that I'm about to run into? And finally, how might I extend the grace and the love of Jesus Christ in this situation? So we have the Trinity. We have where we're at. Start where you are. Use what you have. So we're going to start right there, wherever that may be. We're going to take a deep breath. We're going to relax a minute. We're going to use what we have. We have God, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have Jesus Christ. What would the Spirit of God want me to pray about in this moment? Who or what does God want me to notice right here, right now? What does he want me to see? And how might I extend the love of Jesus Christ in the situation that I'm about to enter? Every day, we have an opportunity to extend grace, to share God's love, and to care for the people that we encounter. Every day is an opportunity to let Jesus show. 30-second rule, to let Jesus show. But too often, way too often, we race past these open opportunities. I don't know. We'll have to go old school. Everybody look in front of you. The green hymnals. You're going to have to take those out and blow the dust off them. Sorry. I don't know what the... God raised the screen to let Jesus show. Am I right? Go with what you got, right? Start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can. But unfortunately, too often we race past these open doors and these open opportunities. We think that evangelism is way too hard, or it's a gift for only everyone but me. Practice the 30-second rule creates open moments for God to speak and offer us direction. And that direction is to let Jesus show. Amen.